Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to the Institute for Personal Development, Kriya Yoga Ashram, where total consciousness is the new frontier.
Kriya Yoga is union of the individual with the divine. Join us as we explore the practices to initiate this process.
Good morning. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. Let's Talk Consciousness. I am your hostess, Lisa Winton, and with me is Kenny Toy, also known as Swami Jayananda, founder of the Institute for Personal Development, located here in Hampton, New Hampshire. Well, good morning, Swami. Thanks for being here today. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing pretty good today. How about you?
I'm doing great today. Thanks for asking. And I want to thank you, listeners, for tuning in. Today on the Voice of Yoga, we will talk about the war on drugs and how the light in your soul could solve it. We will explain how laws just don't work and supply and demand runs the market. Education can work better to eliminate the demand for substances. So listen as we discuss the possibilities of a new paradigm. Say no to drugs, caffeine, nicotine, alcohol, and refined sugars. Pray on prana to experience a better sensation. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. We are talking consciousness. And join our Kriya Yoga spiritual advance. Get the light in your soul and pray on prana. So, Swami, we decided to do this show today because coming up on the 26th is actually the International Day Against Drug Abuse and Illicit Trafficking. So this was a day that the UN had decided to bring awareness for the need for action and cooperation in order to achieve a drug-free world. So they actually chose this day, June 26th, because that is a symbolic day that commemorates the dismantling of the opium trade in Guangdong in China. So I know we have a lot to talk about in regards to this. So what is your take on the war on drugs?
Yeah, I definitely think that laws really isn't working. And so going about it the way that we are just seems to be self-defeating, you know, especially when you think about all of these convicted drug criminals that taxpayers actually have to support while we put them in prison. And so it's like cutting off your nose to spite your face kind of a thing. For me, I think coming back to personal accountability and personal responsibility, my feeling is that if somebody wants to do drugs, they should be allowed to do whatever they want to do. I think that the real solution will be found in education. And for me, not just getting a college degree, but I'm talking about teaching people what drugs do, that drugs trigger altered states of consciousness. And once you understand that all of that is attainable without the drug, mm-hmm. only the experience is purer because you're not dealing with the adverse effects of putting a toxic substance in the mind-body complex. And also you're not dealing with the adverse effects of dependency upon a toxic substance for a desired state. So once you learn how to make shifts in consciousness, consciously and willfully, your experiences are much purer. The highs are much purer, and you don't lose control.
Mm. Well, yeah, and to your point, too, if somebody is indulging in drugs, I mean, there are other problems that come about from that. You know, there's according to Wynne Callender, and in their description of International Day Against Drug Abuse, you know, they're saying that, you know, the drug problems and the dependencies really put such a burden and pressure on the healthcare systems. And not only that, but it really is a threat, you know, to the well-being of us as a people and us as a culture and community.
Yeah, right. I mean, good mental health isn't the norm. And so cultivating healthy, happy people, I think, is optimal. But again, you have to go about this in a way that it is going to work. And mm-hmm. what we have to recognize is that, you know, what motivates people today? And on a very simplistic level, I mean, most people are motivated by their need for approval. Mm-hmm. And because society has changed their views about illegal drugs, that they are becoming more and more socially acceptable, then more and more people get involved in them. And the other thing is that the alternative that we have is either you do drugs or you abstain from doing drugs. So it's not really an attractive alternative. And, you know, people make fun of you if you are straight. You know, you're a nerd, you're a square kind of a thing. And so if you are seeking approval, then of course there's a lot of pressure. But if you have better education, if we had the benefit of the things that we talk about here, the revolutionary ideas that we have here at Institute for Personal Development with regard to initiating a progressive cycle in development and getting the benefit of internal support. Because when you have the benefit of internal support, now you're not drawing off of your outside world. You can start making decisions based on values that are in accordance with universal order. You can be intelligent in your decision making.
Yeah, what I think is important to also understand, what we had said in the opening, is that if there is a demand for this type of product, then somebody has to supply it. And then as you were talking, I was thinking about how this specifically, the International Day Against Drug Abuse, is specifically against illicit drugs. And we're talking about any drugs. We're talking about alcohol. We're talking about nicotine. We're talking about sugar. Anything that is going to upset the body mechanics.
Well, it's not just upset the body mechanics. What you're upsetting is your ability to draw from a resource of energy that gives you a better return. And that's the whole thing. When we say no to drugs, and we say caffeine, nicotine, alcohol, refined sugars, and most people are just trying to get off of heroin, then it seems a little crazy because a lot of people think marijuana is like your entry drug. But with the way our society is, we have accepted these other drugs, that these are acceptable. But the underlying dynamic is that they, first of all, they produce cravings for themselves, and they undermine willpower, which are two things that are really essential in being able to make this conversion so that you can now draw from a resource of energy that will give you these altered states of consciousness, consciously and willfully. And so because we only have the option of abstaining, then you're very limited in what it is that how you're going to go about this. Because in my opinion, offense is always your best defense. And in order to get out from underneath any unnecessary dependency, the easiest thing to do is substitute. And say, for example, you know, if you've ever been to an AA meeting, most people, you know, they have substituted their dependency on alcohol to cigarettes, coffee, and soda, and the group. And so they are able to manage their abstaining to some degree. But they're always, like they say, you're never free. See, now that's the difference. In Kriya Yoga, you're liberated. Because you first of all, the change goes deep enough. You rebirth your body in a different energy field. And of course, it's the difference between putting water in a car and gasoline in a car. Now, you could put water in your car and you might save money, but your car isn't going to run. And if you want your car to do what you know cars are capable of doing, you need to put gas in it. Now, the same is true with the human mind-body complex, that if we put particles and waves in our mind-body complex, then we might get some benefit out of that. But it's not the same as if you put the life force in your mind-body complex. But the physics of it is you can't get the life force in your body if you have a dependency upon any unnecessary substance. So that's where it becomes a little tricky, because it's a double-edged sword. And so you have to purify your mind-body complex in order to be able to get the benefit of these shifts in consciousness. And there isn't really a good paradigm out there. We don't have good leadership. The best that I've seen is people that are abstaining and trying to build popularity from that group dynamic. Whereas learning how to grow psychologically and spiritually and experiencing the benefit of internal support and being able to make shifts in consciousness consciously and willfully is an upgrade. You're not abstaining anymore. You're indulging.
No. Yeah, and I believe that what's really unfortunate is that there are those young people, and actually all kinds of people, that will succumb to this kind of peer pressure, whether it's entry level drugs, or if it's come on out after work and have a drink, or just have that ice cream, after dinner type of thing. It's always, it's always somebody trying to pull you over to the other side.
Yeah, and it's not really somebody. That actually is coming from our physical bodies. It's patterning, it's conditioning. We've internalized these substances, we've internalized these circumstances and situations as symbols that we use to validate ourselves. So we are being driven emotionally by, my need for this feeling that I'm okay. And so I'll have the ice cream, I'll have a beer, I'll have whatever it is, because it's coming from within, deep within me, that I'm looking for the simple fact that I'm okay. But these are images, these are substances that we've internalized in our bodies. And that's why when you are looking to make the conversion and you want to make the correction, you've got to get the change in your body.
So we need to talk about, there has to be some education that's involved. I know we talked at great length about that earlier. And so in order to make that change deep enough, we have to be able to educate people on how to do just that.
Well, that's exactly what we do. That's what Institute for Personal Development is founded on. That's what these revolutionary ideas are all about, is that we teach people how to grow psychologically and spiritually. And we also provide them with the evidence procedure of a process, that it's not magic, that it is physics. It's a conversion. You're converting yourself from being a human being that is seeking things visible and tangible, or things invisible and tangible, which would be particles and waves or matter and energy. And then you convert yourself into a human being that is seeking this invisible, intangible resource. But all the scriptures that are out there are supporting this invisible, intangible resource, and the simple fact that it's a mutually exclusive relationship.
Well, I think that's a great place to pause right there. And so, listeners, we'll be back with you in a few moments.
Wake up one morning, it's like, you know what?
Breathe Yoga Theory 2 is a unique and revolutionary practice and forum designed to facilitate the growth process in human development. Apotheosis is a real experience and has an evidence procedure. You cannot lead someone to permanent change by doing for them what they must do themselves. Personal accountability and responsibility are the foundation of Kriya Yoga Theory 2. You must be engaged and devoted. Prana power brings virtue to overcome fear, wisdom to overcome ignorance, purpose to overcome selfishness, enthusiasm to overcome laziness. Kriya Yoga is a path of action, knowledge, and devotion. These sessions are a celestial positioning system to guide the individual into union with the divine. For more information or to sign up for your next session online, go to www.ipdtransform.com. Namaste. And welcome back. For those of you just joining us, you are listening to The Voice of Yoga, and we are talking consciousness. So Swami, in my notes that I have gathered from Wind Calendar, I have a quote here that I'd like to get your take on. And this quote is by Patrick J. Kennedy, who is an American Democratic politician and former U.S. representative for Rhode Island. And the quote is, "No one is immune from addiction. It afflicts people of all ages, races, classes, and professions."
Yeah, in my opinion, we're all codependent. The dynamics of all addiction is need, and we all have needs. Now, the problem is that we can internalize anything and elevate it to the position of importance that we will respond as if we're in danger if we don't get it. And that becomes the dynamics of any addiction. So whatever your unnecessary dependency is here, that you'll respond as if you're in danger if you don't get it. And that could be as much as a text or a phone call. Mm-hmm. To understand the truth is to understand what Scripture is telling us is that we're all codependent, but the secret to life is to use what you really do need, your number one need, as your symbol for validation. And that's what we were talking about earlier. This concept of initiation means that you internalize what you need in your body. Because if you don't get it in your body and you don't feel connected to the life force, then your body's going to continue to search and look for these unnecessary dependencies, because that's what drives us, is what's coming from our bodies. Our bodies have all the power of preservation and survival.
Well, I have some other interesting facts from Wind Calendar regarding the same subject matter. And I think it's just very telling. One of the facts that I want to say is that $322 billion a year is the value of the drug trade. That, to me, that is just such a staggering amount of money. And then another fact is that $5.1 billion a year are spent on the war on drugs, and that is just in the United States. So you look at $322 billion industry, and only $5 billion is spent on the war against drugs.
Yeah. I mean, if we're looking for the solution to come from outside of ourselves, if you think society is going to fix this through laws and through our government and through politics, you're going to wait a long time. But if you come to the realization that in order to fix this, you need to get the light in your soul. You need to get off the grid. You need to get out of the regressive cycle and start to initiate a progressive cycle for yourself. Then you will start to move towards the solution to these problems. But yeah, it's a huge industry, but it's all supply and demand. If people didn't want drugs, then what would happen to the supply?
Yeah, and that goes to say the same thing regarding alcohol. I mean, while there's still commercials on TV that glamorize alcohol, it's going to be very difficult for people to not want to have that.
Yeah, and again, that's all we know. We're doing the best we can with what we know, and if you don't have a better paradigm, if you don't have a better option other than abstaining, right? Because you look at an alcohol commercial, look at a beer commercial and how they glamorize the whole thing. And we don't have anything there that would support using breath to give you the same dynamic. But if you're an educated consumer and if you're a smart enough person, you can make your own commercial for yourself. And you could start using what you really do need to produce the feeling you're happy. And when you do that, things will start to change for you.
Yeah, I like how you say that. I think we should really be concentrating on what we should be doing. You know, what is our ultimate goal here on this planet? And concentrate on the efforts to do that and to do it, like you say, consciously and willfully.
Yeah, and also, the more you look at it, the more you start to uncover it. Initiating this progressive cycle really is the best use of your time on this planet. And especially when you start to align yourself with a part of yourself that is eternal, that always was and always will be. Because this lifetime is provisional. It's going to terminate. And it doesn't matter how healthy you are or how happy you are, that it's going to end. And I like what Jackson Brown says in one of his songs, that in the end, it's going to be like the wink of an eye. That your time goes pretty quick here. It's like Jesus says, what does it profit a human to gain the whole world but lose your soul? And that if you are diligent in worldly endeavors, you're not reclaiming your soul. You know, that's what in the Bible it says, a friend of the world is an enemy of God's. That your relationship with the divine becomes mutually exclusive. But if you think about it, whatever it is that you learn about the part of yourself that is eternal is what you're going to bring with you when we do expire. So it is time well spent.
And then everything other than that does not matter because you can't take that with you.
Right. And I love what C.S. Lewis said, something to the effect, if you don't choose the kingdom of heaven, it doesn't matter what you chose instead.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because again, there's only one truth. There's only one God. There's only one number one need. And everything else was what they called a sin. It missed the mark. You're off point. And it's not an academic or an intellectual accomplishment. It's something that you have to internalize in your body. You have to feel connected to it. But then, like we were saying, once you are joined with this other source of sustenance, and you become addicted to what you really do need, and you're experiencing the altered states of consciousness that come with it, then it's like we say, I mean, you need laws to uphold the conduct that we do naturally when you are a human in the adult state.
I know before the show I had made a comment about how the singers and songwriters from the 60s and 70s, and probably even today too, that they do use, you know, drugs to get to those altered states of consciousness to do their writing, and maybe because they're impatient to be able to get it to do that for themselves, that they feel that they need the drugs to get that type of clarity, that type of creativity.
Well, probably most of them are doing it because it's the only way they know. Because if they knew what it was that I was talking about, then of course they would be doing what I'm talking about. Because it's an upgrade. if you can produce these desired states with every breath that you take, why would you take something that would have an expiration period to it? And then also the adverse effects of putting toxic substances in our mind-body complex. That when you are making shifts in consciousness consciously and willfully, it's an enhancement to everything you're doing.
I think people think that they have to spend a lot of time in meditation and practices to be able to get to that point that you're talking about. And in today's world, we're in this, everything is this immediate gratification. And so, you know, I think some people may think that they don't want to spend all this time to be able to get to that point. So therefore they're just going to live their life and do what they want and be the expression of spirit that they're going to be without making that connection.
Yeah, I see that. You know, it's the immediacy of taking a pill as opposed to years and years of cultivation and practice. But by the same token, let's look at where a lot of this leads, you know, where you're going to wind up in rehab and you're probably going to destroy most of the departments in your life as a result. Not to mention how you think, how you feel, and how you perform. So, you know, the expression was in the 60s was, if it feels good, do it. Now, I don't know how somebody can wake up with a hangover and then be convinced that what they're doing is good. But because of the simple fact that it is so socially acceptable and my need for approval, it overrides, you know, just exactly what's going on in your mind-body complex. But the other thing is, too, is that if you are diligent with a practice, when I talk about a practice, I'm talking about the Kriya Yoga that we teach, you can start to get results almost immediately. That once you start thinking right and you start breathing right, and then you start hydrating yourself and eliminating foods that produce cravings and disturbances, and you start moving your body, you're going to start to feel good pretty quickly, a lot quicker than you will that if you start drinking wine and beer or taking, you know, these illegal drugs.
You know, that's interesting because you're right. I think if somebody who hasn't done the Kriya Yoga practice and once they start, they will feel these immediate results. But then how do they, you know, what is the motivation for them to really start a meditative practice to be able to find that and feel that connection to spirit?
Well, you have to remember that meditation is the seventh stage of yoga. It's the eighth stage of Buddhism. That it's not an activity that you do independent of life. It's a state of being. You want to be in a meditative state, and I don't care what you're doing. It's optimal to be in a flow state.
So we could be in a flow state regardless of what we're doing, whether it's writing a report or walking down the beach or walking the dog or doing whatever, being at work, we can still be in this meditative state. It's not a practice that's independent of our daily life.
Exactly. And you could be doing the dishes, doing laundry, food shopping, and you're enriching everything that you're doing. Because again, you have the benefit of internal support.
Well, that's great. Well, I think it's probably about that time we have to start closing down our program. So, listeners, I'd like to invite you out there to visit the website. That's www.ipdtransform.com. So once you're there, you can post comments about this show or any other ideas you may want us to consider. Don't forget to look at the new products and videos that we have there for your learning experiences. And be sure to tune in next week. We'll be celebrating Independence Day. So So, Swami, do you have any other final thoughts or comments about today's show?
Well, I would like to encourage people to start praying on prana and making that connection and realizing that being spiritual isn't abstaining, but it's indulging. And start to indulge yourself in a resource that will enrich everything that you're doing. And with that, I wish everybody a good day. Namaste.
And thank you for listening to our program, The Voice of Yoga. This is Lisa Winton, along with Swami Jayananda, signing off. Have a wonderful Kriya Yoga kind of day. Namaste.